Well, this morning I want to continue on with this series that I started with you 2 weeks ago on taking control of your stress. It doesn't matter who you are this morning, every one of us experiences stress in our life. There are some of you that have high stress jobs, some of you who are students that are in school, and we all know that school can be very stressful as you struggle to keep up your grades and to keep up with the class. Many of you are parents. As we've talked about already, parenting can be stressful. Some of you have health issues and financial issues that are stressing you out. It doesn't matter who you are. We all have those areas that we're dealing with. And I would suggest this to you this morning, that many of us aren't doing so well with handling stress. Or we can look at times in our life and say, I didn't do so good in that particular situation. Studies show us that many health issues, in fact, some would say that most health issues are related to us not handling stress well. A lot of relationships break down because of our inability to handle the stresses of life. One in four Canadians, I read in a stat recently that says one in four Canadians are quit their jobs because of stress. Simply put, uncontrolled stress is a big issue. But I'm convinced of this fact. I believe that God wants us to thrive in life. And even though we live in a life that's full of pressure and there's pressures from all sorts of different sources, I'm convinced that God has more for us than just surviving life. When I read my scriptures, I read that God has given us life and life to the full. I believe that God wants us to thrive and not to survive. Do you believe that? And so if that is the truth, then somehow in the midst of all these stresses and all these pressures, there is a way that we can overcome the stress instead of having the stress overcoming us. And so I can tell you that personally, this is an area that I want to grow in. I'm saying, God, help me to thrive and not just survive. And so last week we spent our time looking at, or 2 weeks ago we spent our time looking at one point on how we can begin to take control of our stress. And that point was this: we need to believe that God has grace for us in every situation that we face. Jesus made this statement. He said, I've told you these things so that you can have peace because of me. God wants us to have peace. He says, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be encouraged! Exclamation point. I have won the battle over the world. And one of the meanings for this word trouble in the Greek language that it was written in is the word stress. You see, Jesus never promised us a stress-free life. In fact, he said the opposite. In this world, you're going to have stress, but be encouraged, or as the King James Version says, cheer up, be of good cheer. Church, there are some big buts in the Bible, and this is one of them. One day, I'm going to preach a sermon series called The Big Buts of the Bible, because there are some big buts that are powerful. And this is one of them. In this world, you'll have trouble, but be encouraged. Be of good cheer. This but gives us a promise. There is a reason to be encouraged. There is the ability to have peace because God has overcome the world. He has grace available to us to sustain us and to allow us to overcome the stress of this world as well. In the midst of the stress, he gives us rest. In the middle of our weakness, he gives us strength. And that's where we spent our time 2 weeks ago. We looked specifically at the Apostle Paul as a man who lived under tremendous stress, under tremendous pressure. He wrote about it, the pressure that was from the outside for his very life, the pressure that he carried on the inside as he agonized over the churches and over those that were falling away from the Lord, all those things. He said there's pressure from the out, there's pressure from within, and yet we saw that Paul said to us, I've learned some things, and he said, I've learned that when I'm weak, he's strong. I've learned that through him, I can do all things. He said, I've learned to be content in every situation. And so Paul teaches us that indeed there is grace for every situation of our life. I tell you that I preached that message to you, but it's been just like the light bulb has really gone off in my mind in the last 2 weeks. I've just been, every time I've been encountering those stressful situations, I've just been reminding myself, yeah, but God has grace for me. Yeah, I'm going to get through this. God has grace for me. I don't know what to do here. It's all right. God has grace for me. God has grace for me. God has grace for me. See, when you become convinced that God has grace for you, it's a game changer. It changes every situation of your life. Well, I can't go back and preach that message again. If you missed it, you can find it online, but I think it's foundational to us overcoming stress in our life. Well, today, I want to give you another point in the time that I have remaining this morning. Here's another point on how we can begin to take control of our stress instead of seeing our stress take control of us. And the point is this, that we need to develop a proper perspective. When it comes to dealing with stress, I've discovered that perspective is everything. When we lose perspective in the situations that we face in our life, that's when stress gets out of hand. That's when stress begins to take control of us instead of the other way around. Most of you know that I'm a sports fanatic. I've spent hours playing sports from the time that I was a kid. I can't play them like I used to anymore because my knees hurt when I try, but I still love to golf, and I love to coach sports, and I love watching my children play sports. And sports, of course, can be great and can be a lot of fun, but if you're competitive and playing in a competitive environment, sports can also be very stressful. And I'm in the situation where I have kids who play sports, and they're all talented kids and all striving to play at a very high level. And Ange and I, Ange's a sporty person herself, and so our girls have aspirations that they want to be, and we're trying to encourage them to be all that they can be in those different things, and so they're playing on some, you know, teams like Team Sask and some of these things that are high-pressured situations. And so we're around parents that are also in these situations. And one of the things that I see many times standing on the sidelines is parents are just stressed out about their kids. And sometimes I feel like on the sidelines, to go to some of these parents and say, you just need to mellow out a little bit. You need to back off a bit. And you're saying, Joel, are you saying that? You need to mellow out a little bit. Yeah, I do sometimes. That is the God's honest truth. And trying to learn how to do that. Trying to learn how to keep things in perspective. You know, as a coach, I want to tell you that I have spent hours sometimes not being able to sleep at night because I'm agonizing over losses, or agonizing, or am I going to get my athletes to perform better? And this is just for, you know, high school sports or club sports, things that, you know, really shouldn't stress me out the way they do, but they do because I'm a competitive person. But I've watched a dad recently that kind of illustrates this to me. He's a coach, obviously very passionate about it. And he has a young daughter that plays on his team. I don't know this man at all. I've just watched it sort of from the sidelines. And I watched this dad, he's passionate, but he's really hard on his own kid. And I see him oftentimes during the game signaling her out, and where he has grace for other kids, it doesn't seem like he has the same measure of grace for his own child. And I know he wants her to be successful, and he wants her to be the best, and maybe he's living a little bit through her. I don't know what the situation is. But I think he's lost his perspective a bit. And I want to tell him, and I've been debating, Lord, are you wanting me to say something? I don't know this man. Maybe, you know, it's never good to give parenting advice when it's uninvited. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes I've been wondering, do I go up to this man and just say to him, I know what it's like. I'm a dad too, and I'm competitive. But you need to remember something. At the end of the day, it's not going to matter whether your daughter's elite in this sport that she's trying to play. what's going to matter is your relationship with her. And there's going to come a time in your life when that's going to, when you're going to realize that is the most important thing. And the way you're handling yourself right now, you're in danger. I see you tearing at the fabric of your relationship. I see a girl who often is on the verge of tears. I see a girl who looks at you like, I don't think I can ever please this guy. You lost your perspective. You forgot what's the most important thing. You're stressing over her being elite. And your uncontrolled stress is going to drive a wedge if you're not careful. Now, I'm sure he loves his daughter, but in my observation, he's blind to what he's actually doing. I struggle with that as a coach, as a dad. But oftentimes, I've said this to my girls. I'm pushing you to be the best that you can be. That's it. But at the end of the day, whether you make the shot or don't make the shot, I'm proud of you. I love you. And there's way more important things than that. Do you love Jesus? That's what I really care about. You know, at Hoopla this year, my high school girls team, we lost a tough game. We lost the first round of Hoopla to a team I don't think we should have lost to. We had a goal to win the Hoopla championship, and we fell short. I don't think we handled stress real well in that game. As a coach, I was disappointed in myself at the end of the game because I didn't handle the stress. I mean, I've been there 17 times in a row, or 17 times in my life as a coach. I should know. And yet I felt like, man, I blew it on the sideline. They were coming unglued, and I didn't help them. I added to it. I was bummed. They were bummed. We went to the locker room after the game, and there was a lot of tears and disappointment. And, you know, as a coach, I was like, what am I going to say in these times? And I felt this is a perspective time. And so I stood in the room and said, girls, you know how much I wanted to win this thing, just like you did. But we need to remember something here. Who you are is not defined by what happened in that game today. When you walk through out these doors, you got parents in the stands, and they're going to love you no matter what. And your friends are going to love you, and 3 years from now, nobody's even going to know you played in this game. Not even going to remember. Most won't even remember. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. It will, I promise you. And I talked with them about their identity, who they are as people. This is an opportunity for character. I said, tomorrow we get to play in the third place game. Nobody wants to play in the third place game. So to give it everything you got and to play with passion and to play with pride is going to take character. But if you have character, you're going to succeed in life. And one basketball game isn't going to define your success in life. Tomorrow is an opportunity for you to show what kind of character you have. And it was that sort of speech. I was preaching to myself. My daughter took it really personal. She felt like she let me down. This is her dad. He wanted to put a banner up on the wall. I let him down. I didn't play my best. No, Eden, you need perspective. Did you give it everything you had? Yeah, well, then I'm proud of you. Then I'm proud of you. You didn't let me down. You gave it everything. Right? How are you going to handle it better the next time? You might be saying, Joel, why are you using sports analogy? I'm talking about, I'm not sure I can feed my children this week. And you're using sports. I'm just using it as an illustration. I realize there's bigger issues in life than sports. But what I'm trying to say is that regardless of the situation, Whatever it is that's causing you the stress, when we lose our perspective in those times in our life, we lose control. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And the truth is that a person's perception of himself, his perception of his situation, may cause him more problems than the realities of the situation. Dean Ornish, in his book on stress, said this: it is primarily our reaction to a stressful situation that is harmful, not simply the situation itself. Oftentimes, our response is far worse than the situation, our reaction to it. In the Old Testament, we're told the story of a time when the prophet Elisha kept telling the secrets of the king of, the king of Aram to the king of Israel. There was a war between their nations, and the king of Aram would make his battle plans. I'm going to attack Israel here. And he would send his troops to that particular place. But Elisha would pre-warn the king of Israel, this is where the king of Aram is going to attack you. And so they were always prepared for the attack. And finally, the king of Aram, he's convinced he's got a traitor amongst one of his generals or something amongst his army. And so he says, which one of you is a traitor? Because the king of Israel always knows where I'm going to be. And they said to him, it's not us. Israel has this prophet named Elisha. And I like this description. It says, Elisha the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel, even the word you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Yikes, how many of you would be a little panicky about that one? He knows even the word you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. He's the one telling the king of Israel. And so the king of Aram goes, well, then there's only one thing we got to do. If I'm going to defeat Israel, I've got to get Elisha. And so he sends an entire army to get one man. And he surrounds the city that Elisha is in. And Elisha has this servant who's a little panicky. And he gets up in the morning. The army has come throughout the night and surrounded the city. And the servant gets up in the morning. And he looks over the city walls. And it says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. I mean, it was everywhere. And he begins to panic. And he cries out to Elisha, sir, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? I mean, he looks, this is an impossible situation. An entire army has hemmed them in. There's no hope for them. What are we going to do? But Elisha, he's not panicking. He says to him, don't be afraid! Exclamation point. Smarten up. Don't be afraid. Don't panic, for there are more on our side than are on theirs. Elisha's servant looks at him and, what? You're crazy. Look at the army. We don't have that kind of army. There's more on our side than are on theirs. And Elisha prays. It seemed maybe he was a little exasperated. Oh, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. Let him see what I see. Change his perspective. And the Lord opens the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, you should have that circled in your Bible. When he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots, but their chariots had fire on them. You see, he was in panic because he had the wrong perspective. He thought they were totally outnumbered, but the opposite was true. Church, I want to ask you some questions. What is your perspective on the sovereignty of God? Is God in control or not? What's your perspective on your self-worth? Is your self-worth defined by being a child of God, by being one who's fearfully and wonderfully made, or not? What's your perspective on time? Are you living in light of eternity? What's your perspective on God's enabling grace? That's what the sermon 2 weeks ago was about. It was a perspective message. Hey, if God has grace for you, then you can get through every situation. We needed that change of perspective. I need to live with that perspective. I'm overwhelmed. All right, but God has grace for me. That perspective changes everything. What's your perspective? You see, without the right perspective in the situations you face, you will blow things completely out of proportion. I can tell you that personally, because I'm an emotional person, do you realize that? Do you know that about me? I know that's a revelation to some of you. I'm an emotional person. And here's the problem with emotional people like me. The sky is always falling with us. The sky can always be falling. Oh my goodness! And I'm one of these people that, you know, lots of times when I hear things, I react. And then I have to dial it back. My emotion. I respond emotionally sometimes before I think. And I'm learning that oftentimes the situations are not as bad or as impossible or as hopeless as they first appear. Sometimes God is up to something and I just can't see it yet. I can't see it yet. And so I need to get a right perspective. Well, you say, how do you get a right perspective? I want to just share with you two things that I have discovered that have personally helped me get the right perspective or the in some of the situations that I face. The ladies referred to both of these this morning, but the first thing is this: we need to find godly people that we can trust. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory." If you're struggling with victory in some areas of your life, if you're struggling with some stress, I want to say this to you. There's victory in the abundance of counselors. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed." Hebrews 3:12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ." There's a theme that runs through those verses. There's a theme that runs through Scripture, and it's this: we need each other. We need each other. I want to say this to you, that there are some people that feel like that it's a sign of weakness to share their burdens with somebody. It's a sign of weakness to ask for help. It's a sign of weakness to lean on other people. I want to say this to you. If that's you, you're proud and you're stupid. You're being dumb. You're being dumb. God never intended that we would go through life on our own, facing the pressures and the struggles of life on our own. God said to us, "Bear one another's burdens." Well, how can I bear your burden if you'll never tell me? How can I bear your burden if you'll never share it with me? And we need to be people that let others into our lives. There's a strength that's found there. I believe that healing comes as we share with one another. Wisdom comes. I found personally that it really helps just to have someone to talk about your pressures. Somebody to talk about your problems. Just talking about it can help weed out the distortion in your thought process and give you some perspective. Now, I know that some people are unsafe to share with. But we all need to find those people. Those ones that we can trust, who won't be alarmed by our honest confessions, who have the wisdom and the stability to give us realistic answers. I'm grateful to God that I have such people in my life. It won't be long and there'll be a spot where the varnish is worn off my dad's door to his office from my incessant knocking. My dad is a great source of perspective to me. My mom is a great source of perspective to me. My wife is a source of perspective. But I can tell you that as a minister, I consider myself one of the most privileged pastors in the world because I have like 40 years of experience sitting right next to me. I have a wealth of experience right there, and I utilize it. And I can't tell you how many days when I've knocked on the door in panic and went, "Dad, what am I going to do?" And he says, "Relax. I've been there before. And here's how I got through it. And here's how you're going to get through it." Perspective. I'm finding myself these days, I'm the father of three girls. Asia, my middle daughter, is going to be a teenager in a week. I'm now into the two teenager mode. And they've got hormones, which is terrifying. It was much easier when they didn't have those hormones. And their friends have hormones. And that's even more terrifying. And I find myself knocking on my dad's door these days for parenting advice. And he kind of laughs at me and he says, "Welcome to the big leagues, Joel. You're in the big leagues now. This is where you find out what kind of a parent you really are." Right? And it's helpful when I'm way up here for him to go, "Joel, you were there once yourself. And you got through it. Here's how we get you through it. Here's what you need to do." They're going to make it. They get their brains back eventually. It's helpful. Who do you have in your life? Elisha helped his servant to see correctly. We all need those kinds of people. I think one of the wisest things you can do in all stressful situations is to realize that your stress can cloud your perspective and allow others to speak in those types of situations. We all have blind spots. We all have areas where we don't see right. And one of the things that I've discovered is that, especially in times of real stress, those are open doors for the devil. The devil hangs around stressful situations. That's what I've discovered. They're easy entry points into our lives. And he loves to take those stressful situations. So maybe it's one with my children, for example. And it's a stressful situation because there's of all the things that come with it. And he likes to whisper, "This is going to happen. And that's going to happen. And you should have done this. And you should have done that. Why didn't you say this?" Or why? He's right there all the time accusing and whispering and putting doubt and putting fear. And sometimes in the middle of all that, it can be really confusing. And it's so, so wonderful that God has created us in a way that we can pull ourselves aside and come to those who really love us, who really care about us, who can look at it from the outside and say, "No, no, no, you're not seeing it right." If you don't have those kinds of people in your life, get them. Get them fast. The second thing that I've discovered helps me to get the right perspective, and this is probably even more important than the last point, is my own personal relationship with Jesus. There was a man in the Bible named David who lived with tremendous stress in his life. In fact, his whole life story is one big ball of stress. and pressure. He had some good people in his life. He had Jonathan, a dear friend, who helped him in times of stress. He had his mighty men who stood beside him. But probably the most incredible thing we see from studying the life of David was that this was a man who had a close, intimate relationship with God. He had a time in his life, for some might argue, that he made a mistake. When he was fleeing from Saul, he actually linked up with the Philistine army and was literally going to march against his own country. While he was doing it, he left his wife and children at home, and all the men had left their children and wives at home and all their supplies. And while they were going out to march with the enemy, they were invaded. I think it was the Amalekites. Has I got it right? Lynn, you're a Bible person. You don't know, do you? We'll call them the Amalekites. It was something, some sort of kite, I'm sure. As they were at Ziklag. And David returns. And it's all gone. All the supplies, all the women, all the children, and his own men turn on him. They want to stone him. They want to stone this guy. And the scriptures tell us that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And one of the things that I've discovered in my years of being a Christian is that there are many quote-unquote Christians who don't know how to strengthen themselves in the Lord. There are many Christians who don't have a living relationship with Jesus. They can check off the Protestant box, you know, or the Christian box on their sort of who they are, on their Facebook profile. And they might even wander into church a few times a month or several times a year. But they actually don't have a real living relationship with Jesus. They haven't learned how to abide in the vine. And I want to say that if that's you, you're not going to do well handling stress. When I'm not abiding in the vine, I don't do well handling stress. And I have found that there are some people that the first place they turn are to the counselors. And if they can't meet with their counselor, what are they going to do? Their panic is right up to here. And they haven't learned how to strengthen themselves in God. Now, I've just finished saying we need one another. That's only part of it. But we also need to be people who have learned how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. David made this statement one time in Psalm 61. He's expressing his anguish. He says, God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry out to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. Church, when your heart is overwhelmed, do you know how to go to the rock? Do you know how to go to the rock? David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to this massive rock that's a fortress to me. That's where he lived. Do you know how to go there? I had a friend one time that I ran into at the science center. And he came over to me. I hadn't seen him in a while. I don't know him real well, but he came over to me. He said, Joel, you'd enjoy this. He said, see that puzzle over there? And you know, the science center's got these really, you know, these puzzles you got to try and fit together. He said, that one over there, that stupid puzzle, I spent 20 minutes trying to get it together. I couldn't get that crazy thing together. And then he said, finally, I just knelt down in front of it, and I got it. And I said, because you changed your perspective. He said, I knew you would appreciate that. And I thought about that. Isn't that cool? When we get on our knees, it changes our perspective. When you get on your knees, it changes your perspective. There's a song that says, I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground. I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground. You see, I've discovered in my own life that my greatest source of strength and perspective is the rock. And I've learned that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. There's something about hearing the voice of God that changes everything. There's something about the whisper of God. It breathes life into the darkness. It resurrects that which is dead. It fills us with hope. His word calms the storms of life. There's a scripture that says, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And here's the problem that I think many of us have. We have not learned how to wait on the Lord. I look at it like this. Jesus is the bread of life. He says, taste and see that I'm good. And there's nothing wrong with a 30-second prayer. Sometimes when I'm running out the door in the morning and I haven't had time, there's no time to sit down at the table and make a big breakfast, I have to grab a granola bar and it'll get me to lunch. But I can't live on granola bars alone. Sometimes you need to eat, you need a feast. And I feel like we have too many snacking Christians. Too many snacking Christians, and they're malnourished. And they're weak as a result. They don't have the strength. They don't have the grace. They don't have the perspective because they have not learned how to wait on the Lord. There's a strength that comes with abiding. There's a strength that comes with waiting. There's a strength that only comes with there's a perspective that only comes through waiting. That comes through relationship. Some of you are relationship starved with God. I want to say this to you. I feel like, I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I feel like there's some of you that almost don't even know how to. I'll tell you how I do it. I got a block that takes me 25 minutes to walk around. 10 o'clock at night, there's nobody out. Very few. That walk around the block takes my stress from here to here. Turn off the phone, and I walk and talk. Some of my neighbors do walk by me occasionally and catch me mumbling to myself. I think maybe they think I'm strange. I don't know. It takes me 10 to 12 minutes to walk around this block. I've discovered that sometimes the best thing I can do as a pastor is get away from my desk and go walk this block. It gives me perspective. Some of you don't know how to be vulnerable before the Lord. You know, I like to pride myself in being an athlete, a jock. But I'm not that way before God. I'm an open book before my Lord. I like to sing. I like to sing. And I've discovered there's something so powerful about worship. Something so powerful about singing. That brings the presence of God. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. There's something about magnifying God that makes your problems go like this. And there's something about worship that magnifies God. Somebody told me this morning that when you sing, you use both sides of your brain. I don't know if that's true. Maybe that's why we're smarter when we sing. Church, do you know how to run to the rock? That's the best place to get your perspective changed. That's the best place to boss your stress around. My glasses are fogging. I'm sweating up here. Why don't you stand to your feet? Father, change our perspective. Change our perspective. You know, just in the worship this morning, where it's Mother's Day, and I mean, Angela started speaking to it, but I just felt that there's some moms here this morning that you got the wrong perspective on God. You've looked at some of the mistakes that you've made in your life. And you're feeling like you're failing. You're feeling like you're not measuring up. You're comparing yourself to some other people. And I want to say to you that God says to you this morning, you have the wrong perspective. I don't know, I just feel particularly that God wants to just speak to some young moms in here and even some older moms. That He loves you, that His grace is sufficient for you, that even some of the mistakes you made, He's going to help you get through them. You're not so screwed up, God can't help you. He's there, right there for you. You're not alone. You're not alone. Father, I pray today that you would change our perspectives, whatever the situation, whatever it is. I pray that we would have that Elisha servant moment where you would open our eyes and we would see that there are more that are with us than are against us. Father, whatever it is, would you speak? Lord, we just ask you, just in your own heart, but just begin to say that to the Lord. Lord, give me your perspective. Give me a right perspective. In this relationship, give me a right perspective. In this area that I'm in fearful about, Lord, give me your perspective. Help me to see the way you see. And Father, I pray for those that are maybe here today that feel like I don't have anybody that I can really share with. God, would you bring them a friend that's closer than a brother? Lord, would you bring those kinds of people into our lives that we can really lean on? And Lord, teach us how to bear one another's burdens. Help us to be that kind of person that is safe, that someone can come and share with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed, church.